Chapter 28. Pale Queen skimmed over the summer seas like a great bird ever southward, cutting white-crested rollers with webs of sunlit water patterns racing along her hull above the sea shadows. Finbar and Joseph leaned over the stern rail, watching their vessel's creamy wake trail out until it merged with the distant main. The sea otter squinted at the feathery clouds being chased across the sky by playful breezes.
"We're making good headway, Joseph. Let's hope our luck stays with us, mate,"
he said. The bellmaker could not resist smiling at this remark.
"Luck? We've been holed by rocks, attacked by toads, fought off a shark, lost our rudder, had a mast snapped off like a twig, and been chased by a double-crewed shipload of sea rats. And that's besides losing the roaring burn current that was supposed to take us to Southward. What more luck do we need, you puddle-headed old sea dog?"
Finbar threw a tattooed paw about the bellmaker's shoulders, hugging him fondly.
"You miserable old bellbonger. I never said it was going to be easy, did I? We ain't sitting on the bottom of the briny with a sunken ship. That's lucky. Mayhaps those three little orphans we took aboard at the island are our lucky charms, eh?"
Joseph turned and watched the three young ones. They were playing skip the rope on the hatch covers with Roof, Dury and Fatch.
"Poor little mites. They could do with a bit of luck themselves. We're the only ones they've got left in this world now. Benji will be useful to us. He knows Southward."
"What about the other two young coves?"
Finbar nodded toward Wincy and Figgs.
"Fortunately, they have no memory of Southward, or if they do, it's never mentioned. From what Benji told me, it was a terrible place to be once the creature called Foxwolf came there. He rules the land by terror. There's none to stand against him and his rat horde. The Urgun Nagru is his other name, and he has a mate called Silvermord. Benji's not sure whether they're wolves or foxes. They murdered and tricked their way into power. Have you ever heard of them, Finn?"
The sea otter touched his twin sword hilts ominously.
"No, but when we meet, I'm sure the pleasure will be all mine, matey. I've always been a free beast, and I never could take to tyrants and conquerors, especially those who'd make orphans of little uns. Bad fortune to him, says I, and I'm the beast who'll bring it to him."
Figgs was not built for rope skipping. She attached herself to Rosie, knowing that the hare was a good food provider.
"Figgs wants pudding, Rosie. More pudding."
Rosie Woodsaddle gave a gusty whoop.
"I say, what a good idea, Figgs. So do I. Come on, old scout. Let's chuck those shrews out the galley and see what we can jolly well cook up between us, what?"
Formal stumped about opening supply lockers and searching the galley cupboards gloomily.
"Bain't much victuals left, Miss Rose. We should have taken on more supplies at the island. Brr, soon us'ns be a drinking his sea and cooking his sails for soup."
Rosie frowned as she turned a few withered apples out of a drawer.
"Well, lack-a-day, you mean there's no tucker left?"
Logalog crawled out of an empty locker, saying,
"There's a bit, but not much. I've just been sounding the water casks. We're going to have to ration the drinking water from now on. If we don't sight land soon, I think fish would be a good idea, eh, Formal?"
"Burn nay, Zurlog. We met one good fish aboard. That were enough for I, thank ye."
Figgs followed Rosie about, throwing a paws in the air and repeating over and over,
"Lack-a-day, no tuckers left, lack-a-day."